Of the Shia Ktava Kabbalah Parshas Pinchas, wanted to first start with an idea from the Ktava Kabbalah, which he applies to a number of different occurrences in our parasha. So he also puts forward what he believes is a klal, a general principle, which can be applied to many other such instances in Chumash as well. So this is Perek Chav Zayin Pasuk Yud Gimel. Ribono Shel Olam Hazeh Shesed to Moshe Rabbeinu Alei El Har HaAvarim Hazeh. Go up to Har HaAvarim and take a look out at the land which I promised to Klal Yisrael. V'ro Yisrael so, you will see it. V'nesaf toil amecha gam oto. Kasher nesaf Aaron ochicha. And just like your brother Aaron passed away, you too, after looking out and gazing at Eretz Yisrael, you will pass away as well. The word V'ro Yisrael, at the very beginning of Pasuk Yud Gimel, is spelled with an extra hey at the end. Vav Reish Aleph Yud Sof Hey. What is the nature of this extra hey? So the Ktava Kabbalah writes, B'chol HaTorah Kol Ziro Isa Choser Hey. Right? As we already indicated, the Isa usually is written without a hey. The Kan Hey the Sof HaTev Al Pi Amisara. And here we're told that the way to write the word Ziro Isa is with the hay at the end. Ubalaturim Omar Bozel Fidarko. So Balaturim, you know, who as we know is always very attentive to seemingly extra letters and the like, has his typical approach to explaining the extra hay at the end of the Ro'isa. What does he say? Balaturim writes, Siv the hay, there's an extra hay at the end. Malalej to her ahu kol ha'ara. Hame'aros, v'hame'chilot, v'osos, kesav, v'zob, shabbat. Says the Balaturim, the extra hay at the end of the Ro'isa teaches us that, in a sense, Moshe Rabbeinu was given what we'd call x-ray vision. He saw not only the surface of the land, but he saw into the caves, he saw into the tunnels, he saw all the repositories of precious metals that were underground in Eretz Yisrael. In other words, the extra hay at the end of Ro'isa means not only you're going to see, but you're really going to see. Right? You're going to see with a vengeance. You'll see with x-ray vision, so to speak.
Why does that hay mean that?
Right. So the truth is, it's a very good question. You know, why would the hay indicate that you saw very, very well? On the surface, the Balaturim doesn't explain, and on the surface, it seems the Balaturim is just saying, well, we have to dash it in some way, so this is a way to explain it. The truth is, when we continue going through the Ktava Kabbalah, although the Ktava Kabbalah presents its own understanding, which is different from that of the Balaturim, I suspect that he mentioned the Balaturim first because the essence of what the Ktava Kabbalah says, I think, helps us understand the Balaturim as well. Even though, as we'll see, the Ktava Kabbalah itself gives a different, you know, has a different approach. Well, the Daisy, Nachon hu me'od ha'klau shebi'odeinu. In my opinion, says that Ktava Kabbalah, there's a general principle which he developed, and he thinks it's correct, ki b'chol po'al ha'nasa b'cheset uv'rotzon t'shaber bo ha'hei. That the presence of an extra hey at the end of a verb implies that the action is done willingly and with a great desire. And as he's about to say, he's mentioned this idea numerous times earlier in his commentary on the Chumash. So, just to take one example where he first speaks about it. Take an example that he talked about a little bit earlier. The Shir HaTayam, we say, Tipol Aleim Ein Masav Ofachad. right? So what's the difference between ema, you know, fear, and emocha? So the Aksava Kabbal develops the idea that the extra letter at the end of the word, again, you know, emocha as opposed to ema, means a very, very strong form of fear. But here too as well, he's developing the idea that whenever there's a hey at the end of a verb, so that indicates that the action is being done willingly with great desire. So what does that have to do with over here? L'chein b'ri'iyazo, sh'nisas Moshe tzvuyavo. Now, again, as the Tzukim explained, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to go gaze at Eretz Yisrael, and then he's going to pass away after that. That's going to be one of the last things he does before he passes away. And certainly, as the average person, if he's told, do X and then you'll die, he's not anxious to do X. So the Ribbono Shel Olam comes to him and he says, I know your natural tendency would be to be somewhat reluctant to go out and gaze at Eretz Yisrael because it means that your death is getting that much closer. I'm telling you not only to gaze at Eretz Yisrael, but I'm telling you to somehow evoke in yourself a desire to look at Eretz Yisrael. Rush to do this. In other words, don't hold back, even though it's bringing you one step closer to death. Not just Viro'isa, take a look. Viro'isa with the hay, so as to indicate, go willingly. Go with desire to take a look at Eretz Yisrael. That's the implication of the hay at the end of the word. A similar idea, says the Aksava Kabbalah, can be applied to Psukim, just a few Psukim further in the Chumash. Moshe Rabbeinu, after being told of his death, turns to the Ribbono Shel Olam and he says, Hashem, you have to appoint a leader who's going to take over after I die. Says Hashem to Moshe, you're right, Kach l'chos Yoshua ben Nun. So take Yoshua, he's going to take over after you pass away. And then we read in Pasuk Yutef, V'hamarta oso l'tnei Elazar HaKohen, cause Yoshua to stand before Elazar, v'litnei kol ha'edo, v'tzidisa oso l'einayhem. You should charge Yehoshua in the presence of the entire leadership of the people. So the word v'tzidisa is with a hey at the end, right? More. We keep reading in Pasuk Chaf, v'nosata mehocha alof. Again, the word v'nosata, you should place some of your splendor and glory upon Yehoshua, also with a hey at the end. So, again, we have to ask the question, you know, why are these two verbs, which ordinarily should end in a sof, v'shivisa, and v'nosata, why are they ending all of a sudden in, instead with a hey added on to the end of the verb? So the Tava Kabbalah writes that shibau shnei pa'olim, right? How do we understand the addition of the hay here at the end of these verbs? So it's the same idea. Not an easy thing for anyone, especially on Moshe Rabbeinu, who's led the people, you know, devotedly for 40 years, to basically hand over everything to his successors. It's just bittersweet for him. Especially bittersweet in light of, you know, that which Chazal hints at and Rashi tells us, that, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu on the back of his mind was thinking, maybe my sons will succeed me. So comes to Ribbono Shel Olam and says, Yoshua. What do you mean, Yoshua? You know, I have Gershom, Eliezer, you know, maybe they'll, not Yoshua. Right? So it's a little bit of a bittersweet moment for Moshe Rabbeinu. And you can certainly understand that although Moshe Rabbeinu will never flinch, will never hesitate to carry out the Tzivo Yashem, you know, but you could understand that even somebody of the caliber of Moshe Rabbeinu might drag his feet a little bit, or might feel a little bit of a pang, you know, as he charges Yehoshua, as he transfers from the hold, from the glory that he had, unto Yehoshua. Comes the Pasuk and it says, V'tzivisa, V'nosata, with the hey. Not only do it, do it willingly, do it with a rachum, do it with an enthusiasm. And despite the fact that it would be so natural for you, you know, not to feel that enthusiasm at that time. When giving it over to Moshe, giving it over to Allah. So. Like, I think it's a little bit different. In other words, he was older, but at that point there wasn't so much to give over. I know this Aaron HaKohen, yes, was a Navi to Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim, but you know, he hadn't really led the people in quite the same way. I mean, again, by the time Moshe Rabbeinu's 40 years were done, his CV was quite impressive. You know, I mean, Kabbalah Satara, leading the people through, you know, providing miracles for 40 years. You know, I mean, it was, as difficult as it was for Aaron, it was that much more difficult, I think, for Moshe Rabbeinu to pass it on. And again, you know, Aaron passing on the leadership, at least it stayed in the family. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu was giving it on to somebody who was a very devoted Talmud, but at the end of the day, it was passing out of the family. You could definitely appreciate that it would have, you know, been hard for Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, to do something like that. Yeah. Yeah. Right. He doesn't hesitate. Right. 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 But it's a similar point, except that the Akshava Kabbalah is just, you know, locating that point with the extra haze, you know, that are being added onto the verbs over here. But in other words, it's a similar idea, the alacrity of Moshe Rabbeinu. I mean, we find it at the beginning of Parshas Matos as well. You know, Hechalsim Yitzchem Anoshim Latzava Akai Teyosef Alamecha. The Rebbe Shalom says to Moshe Rabbeinu, go fight Midian, and then you'll die, right? So Moshe Rabbeinu was ready to do it right away. The people are reluctant, right? But Yimotzu Me'alfei Yisrael, you know, they had to be, dragged, you know, off to the battlefield because they didn't want Moshe Rabbeinu to die. But Moshe Rabbeinu, for his part, you know, is more than ready to follow the Tzivo Yashem. But again, it's every point is difficult where he does that. So here too, that idea is being emphasized. The hay represents the alacrity and the readiness to follow through.
We had a whole process, before that, where they had to use the hay to open the hay.
But again, this is not names, this is verbs. So again, this is the hay being added onto the end of verbs, which is unusual. When you charge Yehoshua, do it not half-heartedly, do it, you know, with a great deal of enthusiasm. In light of this interpretation of the extra haze, the words of the Sifri take on even more significance. What does the Sifri say? So the Sifri writes, Ma tziva HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe b'simcha, kach tziva Moshe l'Yoshua b'simcha. Right? The Pasuk says, Vayitzaveu kasher diber Hashem b'yad Moshe, that Moshe charged Yoshua just as Hashem had told him. The whole phrase, kasher diber Hashem b'yad Moshe, is superfluous. Vayitzaveu. I mean, we know that Hashem told him to do it. It's just, you know, it just appeared in the psukim a few psukim earlier. So what kasher tziva Hashem is Moshe? Not just in accordance with what Hashem told him, but in the same manner that Hashem had told him, says the Sifri. Hashem told him joyously, it's time to appoint Yehoshua. So Moshe went joyously to Simcha and he appointed Yehoshua. So where did Chazal get that from? So the Ksav HaKabbalah wants to suggest it's the extra haze in part that are imparting that message. Re'ei Omed Das Chazal, B'Darchei HaLashon. Look at how attentive Chazal were to the Lashon of the Pasuk. She'evinu Po'al V'Tzivisov Nosato L'Fula Nasi S'Simcha. Yishtiva Tosefes Ha'ei. Right? The words V'Tzivisov Nosato have the Hei added onto them. It means the Simcha with Chesed. And he writes, I was trying to look at this earlier, and see here, it's at the end of the paragraph. Right? He quotes another example of this earlier in Chumash. Yosef HaTzadik in Vayigash has just revealed himself to his brother, and after having that reconciliation, so he says, now that you've been commanded, do the following. Take wagons, bring them back to Eretz Yisrael, bring all kinds of goodies back to Yaakov Avinu, and bring Yaakov Avinu down to Mitzrayim. There too, the Atot Suvesa, the word Suvesa, you have been charged, is with the hay at the end. Why? Because there too, Yosef was impressing upon his brothers, do this with alacrity. You can definitely imagine the brothers going back to Yaakov Avinu with their tails between their legs, so to speak. You know, Dad, you wouldn't guess who we met in Mitzrayim. Our long lost brother Yosef. That's funny. How'd he end up in Mitzrayim? Gee, that's anybody's guess, right? So, you know, they're not that anxious on some level to communicate all of this back to Yaakov Avinu. It opens up a lot of questions. And yet, Vatos Tuvesa, you have been charged, and do it with alacrity, do it with enthusiasm, even though there would be a very natural human tendency at that point for them to drag their feet and not be so anxious to share the news with their father. So this extra hay indicates an additional level of enthusiasm and willingness as brought to the task. Now, this interpretation is different than that of the Balaturim. Again, we started off by saying the Balaturim understands the Ro'isa, right? The Ro'isa Osa with the extra hay means that Moshe Rabbeinu saw, you know, with X-ray vision, the underground tunnels of Eretz Yisrael. But if you think about it, I think the idea of the Aksava Kabbalah and the Pshat of the Balaturim do work well together in the following sense. The point the Aksava Kabbalah is making is that the extra hay adds a certain degree of emphasis. Right? Don't just charge Yehoshua. Charge Yehoshua with enthusiasm. Don't just look out on Eretz Yisrael. Look out on Eretz Yisrael with a willingness to look out on Eretz Yisrael. Do it with every fiber of your body. You know, the Rebbe Shlomo wants to emphasize to Moshe Rabbeinu, do it willingly, do it strongly, do it with a great deal of enthusiasm. In other words, the hay adds an extra level of emphasis. So the truth is, that's what the Balaturim is saying as well. I mean, he's taking it in a slightly different direction, but the same basic idea is there. The hay makes it stronger. So whereas Viroisa without the hay means looking at something superficially, Viroisa with the hay means looking at something, you know, considerably deeper. Right? The hay is always added for a greater degree of emphasis, a stronger degree of whatever is being conveyed in the pasuk. Based on this, I was just wondering, I didn't see that Aksava Kabbalah himself address it. I looked on the appropriate pasuk. You know, it's the famous drasha from Chazal, the end of Parshas Bo, V'haya lo'osal yadcha, right? So the tefillin is supposed to be placed as a sign, al yadcha, and yadcha there is written, yud dalet chof hei. So Chazal dashed, why is it written with the hei at the end? Because we're supposed to read it, yad keya. It's on the weaker hand. So the question is, you know, how does this fit in with the approach of the Aksava Kabbalah? Because after all, the Aksava Kabbalah is telling us that the hay is meant for extra emphasis. If anything, I would think Yad Cha with the hay at the end means the stronger hand, you know, the way the Aksava Kabbalah is explaining it, right? If you've got to follow his principle to his logical conclusion. So the first answer may be it's not such a kasha, because the Aksava Kabbalah is really focusing on the addition of hay to verbs, not to nouns, right? In other words, you know, this principle is applying over here to, you know, to verbs, to actions. You know, who's to say that he would necessarily say the same thing when it comes to a noun that has a possessive at the end, you know, yad kah. Although he does say the same thing by nimasa, as we talked about before. Tipal alein nimasa v'fachad, right, that the extra soft hay at the end is meant for emphasis. But again, you know, maybe you can't compare a masa to yad keya. You know, maybe they operate by different principles. But I was thinking, again, I'm not sure whether it's right, but I'll throw it out there anyway. I was thinking, that maybe you can apply the principle of the Aksava Kabbalah, that the hey implies a certain extra emphasis, even in the case of Yad Kha, and that's the Salah. The Gemara at a certain point in Menachos considers that the word Yamin always means right hand, and Yad, by extension, means left hand. Right? Yad, when it's used without elaboration, you know, just means left hand, and Yamin means the right hand. So maybe Yad Kha means to emphasize that it's Davka the Yad. In other words, that's, and it's really the same thing that Chazal is saying in their drasha, Yad Keya, you know, the hey is for emphasis, not emphasis that it should be the stronger hand, but emphasizing the fact that the word Yad over here is meant in a very specific fashion. It means Davka the weaker hand, Davka the weaker hand, because you're right, in a vacuum, the word Yad sometimes means weaker hand, sometimes just means the hand generically, right? But here, the hand comes for emphasis that in this case, when it comes to the tefillin, it's that for the weaker hand which is being referenced over here. So it's not so much that we break it up into two words, Yad Keya, you know, the way the simple reading of that Maimer of Chazal would seem to indicate, but, you know, Chazal pointing to the fact that the hey is for emphasis. Here, Davka, Yad means weaker hand, even though the term can mean different things, you know, in different contexts. Right. So that's certainly an excellent question, right? So tease to ask Moshe Rabbeinu to look at Eretz Yisrael. So in one of his sichos, my Rosh Hashiva, Chaim Yaakov Goldberg himself in Karen Biavna, so he spoke about the fact that the gazing of a tzaddik invests a certain kedusha in that which he's looking at. You know, he has a shmooze that's entitled Koach HaRe'iyah, you know, the power that's invested by, you know, the tzaddik's gaze. And really, that's what the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted from Moshe Rabbeinu. He wasn't saying to him, you know, ha-ha, you know, look at what you're not going to get. But you're right, that would be a terrible thing to do. You know, that's a terrible, terrible thing to subject Moshe Rabbeinu to. The point over here was not to taunt Moshe Rabbeinu for what he wouldn't be able to experience. The point was to give him the opportunity to give one last gift to Klal Yisrael. The last gift to Klal Yisrael that he was going to give was this re'iyah, this profoundly spiritual gaze that would invest Eretz Yisrael with a certain kedusha that only Moshe Rabbeinu could really do. Right? So it's, you know, maybe it did hurt on some level, but, you know, he took one for the team. It was important for Klal Yisrael for Moshe Rabbeinu to do that at the end of his life. All right, so that's one beautiful approach that the Aksava Kabbalah has, this A at the end of verb, which, again, as we pointed out, is a klal, is a general idea that could be used throughout Chumash, because it's throughout Tanakh, for that matter. So it's not the only place where a hey appears where we would not expect it at the end of verbs. What I wanted to start, and then we only have 5 minutes before Ma'ariv, but we'll start it now and then we'll pick it up after Ma'ariv, is another beautiful piece at the end of the Sedra, which I think served as the inspiration for a very similar commentary by Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch. I've noted this year, going through the Aksava Kabbalah, that I think there's a tremendous influence that Aksava Kabbalah had on Rav Hirsch in his commentary, which again is not surprising. I mean, geographically, the Aksava Kabbalah lived at the end of the 1700s, beginning of the 1800s in Germany, and as we mentioned at the very beginning of the Shiurim, in the lifetime of the Aksava Kabbalah, the paper was wildly popular in Germany, to the point where they made special chaburas on Shabbos, where people would just sit around learning the commentary of the Aksava Kabbalah. Right? It's an amazing thing for an author to be zocha to that in his own lifetime, you know, that they have, you know, it's one thing for us to be saying Aksava Kabbalah Shiurim, but in the lifetime of Aksava Kabbalah, they were saying Aksava Kabbalah Shiurim. It's an amazing thing. And again, Rav Hirsch was raised in that time in Germany. One has to assume that he was exposed to the Aksava Kabbalah. So many, many approaches that the Aksava Kabbalah takes, I think you can see similar thought processes in the commentaries of Rav Hirsch. And we'll see, I think this is an example where Rav Hirsch's thought was very, very much inspired by the approach of the Aksava Kabbalah. the very end of the Sedra, Perek Chavtes, Pasuk Lamed Hey, we're going through the Karbonos of the Yom Tovim. Ayom Hashmini Atzeres Ti Yelochem. Right, on the eighth day following the Yom Tov of Sukkot, it should be for you an Atzeres. Right, Shmini Atzeres. I know what Shmini means. What does Atzeres mean? Right. But Rashi over here writes that Atzeres means Atzurim Ba'atziyas Melacha. Atzeres means, from the word Atzur, stop. You should be held back from doing Melacha. The Hodik Siv Basrei called Melacha Savoda Lo Sasu. The Ksara Kabbalah quotes the Mizrahi, the preeminent commentary on Rashi. But the Mizrahi asks the following kasha. If Aseret means that you don't do Melacha, so then the second half of the pasuk is seemingly extraneous. Bayom Ashri Aseret Yelochem, Kol Melacha Savoda Lo Sasu. Why do I have to tell you Kol Melacha Savoda Lo Sasu? That's what Aseret means. Right? So the Mizrahi says, you're right, the second half of the pasuk is explaining the first half of the pasuk. So Yom HaShri Yatzer Tzi Elohem, that is to say, Kom Alecha Tavo Dolo Tzadu. Okay? That's the Mizrahi. Umi Dechazinon, Tivimakam Acher, Karas Aminiyam Emlacha Beloshim Shabbosom. Now it says that Saba Kabbalah, we find elsewhere in Chumash that a cessation from work is referred to with the term Shabbosom. So then we have to ask the question, in Cain, Lama Shinsa HaTorah Kam Rekos Miyas HaMalachim Shem HaTorah. Pasach just means don't do work, and Shabbatah means don't do work. So why do I need two different terms to tell me the same thing? The Ode, furthermore, if Atzeres just means don't do work, so then any Yom Tov should be called an Atzeres. Right? And yet, we never find that Yom Tov Rishon is ever referred to as an Atzeres. Right? Here we find, well, one sec, we'll get to Shavuot. Here we find the Torah calls the eighth day of Sukkot Atzeres. It does not call the first day of Sukkot Atzeres. We find in Parashat Re'eh that the last day of Pesach is called an Atzeres. Right? Uvayom Ashri Atzeres Vashem Elokecha. Right? But again, it's very noticeable that the first day of Pesach is not called an Atzeres. Chazal calls Shavuot an Atzeres. The Torah does not call Shavuot an Atzeres. Chazal calls Shavuot an Atzeres. But there too, Shavuot, as the Ramban famously points out, in a sense, is really the conclusion of Pesach, right? It's the conclusion of this long period of the Sefer Solomon, which begins with Pesach and culminates in Shavuot. So the term Atzeres is always associated with something that happens at the end, right? And it's, according to Rashi, Atzeres just simply means we don't do Malacha, Atzurim, Yasiyas Malacha. So why should the term Atzeres be used the same way that we use the term Yom Tov? Yom Tov, you know, you don't do Malacha, it's called an Atzeres. Right? Lama Nikra Davka Yom Achron Shel Pesach V'Sukkos B'Shem Atzeres V'Lo Yom Arishon Shebohem Shem Gam Kein Atzurim B'Malacha. Right? So when we pick up after Maizah, Ezra Hashem, we'll try to tackle that question and see the unique approach of the Aksava Kabbalah, you know, a different understanding of Atzeres. You know, why should it be associated davka with the end of Yom Tov? Okay, well, in the second half of this year, Aksava Kabbalah and Tashas Pinchas. Okay, we started briefly speaking about the term Atzeres for Yom Hashmini, Atzeres Tia Lochem, which Rashi translates as Asurim Basias Malach. Asurim means you don't do Malacha. The Aksava Kabbalah asks, hey, if that's the case, what's the difference between the term Asurim and the term Shabbosom, which also means not to do Malacha? And how come we only find the term Asurim with regard to the final days of holidays, be it the end of Pesach, the end of Sukkot? Chazal used the term Atzeres in terms of Shavuos. Shavuos is the end of the of Pesach in a certain sense. So how do you explain the word Atzeres? So after going back and forth a little bit, the Aksava Kabbalah wants to suggest the following. We see that the Torah, using the term Atzeres, wants to teach us something extremely valuable. For who? That is to say, it's extremely the pull that we have towards materialism and temporal things is a very, very strong pull. And there are a lot of disworldly things we have to do in this world. That's why they're called disworldly things. But, while we have to engage in these things, they also take away from the time that we have to pursue next worldly things, to pursue things that are eternal. The Torah had in mind to free people from their dependency upon the material goods of this world, and to give people an opportunity to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the point of the Yom Tov. The point of Yom Tovim is to get us to stop focusing so much on the materialistic and to reorient ourselves to focus on the spiritual. To realize that we can get by in this world with a lot. We need material things, but we can get by, we can get away with a lot less in the material realm than we think we can. And the point of all the Yom Tovim when they come up is to reorient ourselves towards the spiritual. We shouldn't feel that we have to push ourselves to an extraordinary extent in order to acquire material goods. We have to pursue material pursuits to the point to which we should survive, but the main point of living in this world is to perfect our souls, our spirituality, and to acquire the eternal world. Now, this is an important idea to emphasize because unfortunately, Yom Tovim, for many of us, if not most of us, if not all of us, tend very often to be the exact opposite of what the Aksav HaKabbalah is talking about. In other words, I don't want to knock anybody's, vacation plans, but, Pesach and this exotic vacation, Sukkot and that exotic vacation, very often, even for all those of us who are not running off to exotic locations, for the Yom Tovim, but there's a lot of money spent on food and clothing and things like that. Is he saying not to do that? I don't know if he's saying, not to spend money on clothing and food at all. After all, we have a mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov, which includes food and clothing, all of exactly those things. The question is, A, what do you see as being the main point, and what's just the way of, accompanying that main point? And it's also a little bit of a mitzvah, maybe a lot of a mitzvah, to not go overboard. Right? In other words, at the end of the day, the point of the Yom Tov is to teach you that life is about more things than just dying with the biggest amount of toys at the end. That's not what the point of life is about. The point of life is to achieve things that are spiritual. That's what we're supposed to walk away from at the end of every Yom Tov. Do we feel that the Yom Tov is actually very often the opposite of that? So then I think the answer is not that the Torah is doing a bad job, Chalila, it's that we're doing a bad job implementing what the Torah wants us to do. And obviously we're not quite getting what the message of Pesach or Sukkot is supposed to be if we come away from these Yom Tovim thinking about all of the wonderful material things that we achieved, or that we spent time on during these Yom Tovim. Well, is that Niku Moadei Hashem? That's why the Yom Tovim are called Moadim, Moadei Hashem. Yid Saloma, that is to say, Zmanim Am Yuchadim Rinoni Elokiyot Levad. Moadei Hashem, a moed is a time. Moadei Hashem means times set aside for Hashem. That's what the Moadim are. That's why they're described as such. Meruchach Mikol Mine Hishtadim Yisukin Yonim Azmanim. there are times during which we remind ourselves that life is not about physical acquisition. These times during the year where the focus is on Hashem are supposed to make a great imprint on our neshama. They're supposed to cause us to push aside, literally to despise, the excesses of materialism. It's true that once the Yom Tov is over and we resume the regular weekdays, we're going to go back to our material pursuit. But we have to recognize there are means to an end. You know, the ultimate end is to attach ourselves to things that are eternal, things that are spiritual. Okay, we need to work, we need to make money, we need to eat, we need to have clothing, we need to do all these things. But they're a means to an end, not an end in themselves. That's why the Yom Tovim are also called Mikra Kodesh. Mikra means preparation for Kodesh. Mikra Kodesh means a time during which we prepare ourselves for Kedusha. That's what he types it, that's how he explains the term Mikra Kodesh. Shall we move them? Hayikarim, how remove them? These precious lessons, which we get over every Yom Tov, Tia Lanu Geder Gogo Trufa Klois Gamal Azman Haba Achar Avor Hamoleh. The precious lessons which we gain every Yom Tov should serve for us a balm, a medicine to keep us going even after the Yom Tov is over, during the weekdays, the mundane days that follow after the Yom Tov. The Shuvenu Oz Elinyone Eitzach HaKomim. When we go back to our materialism, nonetheless, the lessons of the Yom Tov, its focus on spirituality, is supposed to stay with us. Hinei L'Tachlis HaNirza HaLeizu L'Yishto'er Gam Achar Avor HaRegel Dovuk B'Rayon HaKdosho Shishagnum B'Mei HaMoeh L'Vli Arfikom Min HaShulzer B'Chlos HaMoeh. This lofty ideal that we should walk away with the Yom Tov with all of the lessons of the Yom Tov intact, that we should not walk away from the Yom Tov and just slip back into our regular routine, so all of that is why we call it Yom HaAchron Shal Pesach B'Sukkos B'Shem Atzeres. That's where the term Atzeres comes from. What's Atzeres? That is to say, Yom Asher Bo Nis'ameit B'Chol Oz B'Achzik B'Nashoseinu HaLimudim HaYikarim Shizragalnu B'Hem B'Chol Yimei Achad. Atzeres means to hold something back. Right? Like Rashi started off, Atzur Mi'Atiyas Malacha. In this case, says the Aksav HaKabbalah, Atzeres means to hold on to something. And that's why Davka, the last day of the Yom Tovim, is called Atzeres. Because you gain so much from the Yom Tov, Atzur, keep it with you, even after the Yom Tov has finished, that the lessons in spirituality shouldn't go up in smoke the minute the Yom Tov is over. We will hold on to these lessons and keep them with us. And just as the Yom Tov was a Mikra Kodesh, it was a day during which we were preparing ourselves for Kedusha, so we don't want to just prepare ourselves and then let it go. But that preparation for Kedusha should spill over into the Yemei HaMaisa, into the regular, ordinary days that follow the exalted lesson of the Yom Tov. So in other words, Atzeres specifically can only be used with the endings of the holidays, and it means this idea of keep the lessons of the Yom Tov with you. That's, by Yom HaShmini, Atzeres Yelachem, a holding on to of the lessons of the Yom Tov. That's the seventh day of Pesach, is called Atzeres, hold on to the lessons of Pesach, and that's the Lashon Chazal. Shavuos is called Atzeres because it enables us to hold on to the lessons of the whole period from Pesach until Shavuos. Right. So the very notion of Yitzchak, in a sense, is what the Torah already means with the term Atzeres.
So also,
Right. So he actually mentions that, that some of us can say that Atzeres is tied to Lina. The difficulty with that is that the mitzvah of Lina, i.e. that after you bring the carbon of the Yom Tov, you're supposed to stay over in Yerushalayim that night, applies to the first day of Yom Tov the same way it does to the end of Yom Tov. Meaning, the person comes to Yerushalayim, on the first day of Yom Tov he brings all the carbon of Chagiga, Re'iyah, and all of that, so the mitzvah of Lina applies that night. He has to wait till the next morning to go back. So in other words, by that token, Atzeres could be applied to the first day of Yom Tov as well. So in other words, and we don't find that it is. We find that Atzeres is only applied to the last day of Yom Tov. Rei. Pashas Rei. The end of Pashas Rei. Yeah.
Question about that. You said that the Ayon is different than the Haggadah. It's a different thing.
I mentioned it in passing, right? The Korban Re'iyah versus the Korban Chagiga, right? There are two different things. Yeah, no, there are two different things. So I mentioned before Meir briefly that I find, again, going to our Sava Kabbalah this year, that there very often seems to be a very straight line from the writings of the Aksava Kabbalah to the writings of Rav Shamshon Paul Hirsch on Chumash, which, again, is not surprising. As we pointed out, Rav Hirsch grew up in Germany, you know, when the Sfarim of the Aksava Kabbalah, who was also from Germany, were being widely learned in Germany. We mentioned Aksava Kabbalah writes about himself, that his Sfarim were learned, you know, on Shabbos, and he was surprised. He was tremendously humble. He was surprised. Why would anyone want to learn my Sefer? Right? But, you know, he was pleasantly surprised that people were learning the Sefer on Shabbos. So if you look in Parshas Emor, where the term Atzeres is first used, so Rav Hirsch has the following comment. I want to read a little bit from the English translation of Rav Hirsch. So in Vayikra Perchot Gil Pasuk Lamed Vav, Shivat Yomim Takrivu Isha Lashem, Bayom Ashvini Mikra Kodia Shiel Lochem, Atzeres Yi, Komalecha Tavodo Losasu. Right, so the Torah calls Shmini Atzeres and Atzeres and Parshas Emor. Right? What is the significance of Atzeres? So he writes, the special moed is designated Atzeres. According to Chagiga, Tatzeret Aleph, Atzeres means Atzer Basias Malacha. Some commentators explain that Atzeres denotes a festive day marked by not doing Malacha. This reason, however, is insufficient, because the seventh day of Pesach also is called Atzeres. It's not marked only by the Yisr Malacha, but also by Yisr Chomet. Not exactly the same thing that Sala Kabbalah says, but similar. So, he explains the silence. The meaning of the root asar in the great majority of cases in Tanakh is to detain a person, object, or force, and guard him or it, so that he or it is not withdrawn or lost. Asar is clearly related to asar with an aleph, asar, 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 asar. The common meaning of all these terms is to concentrate, preserve, and hold together. Hence, it appears to us that we are not mistaken in interpreting that Atzeres is a day whose purpose is not the communication of new truths for us to assimilate. Rather, its purpose is to keep us before God in order to strengthen our grasp of perceptions we have already gained so that they remain with us for a long time. And this interpretation is entirely in accord with the purpose of the last day of the festival. Take the case of Pesach. For 6 days we absorb all the truth that Yetzias Mitzrayim instills in the consciousness of the Jew. The seventh day is Atzeres. On this day we gather up and hold fast to all the spiritual treasures we have collected during the festival. Thus, they will truly enrich us. Thus, we can integrate them into everyday life, right, this is the first, which recommences at the end of the seventh day. The function of the Atzeres is accomplished. If we recall all that we have gained by the festival and resolve, that these gains shall not slip away from us in the struggle and labor and life. On this day, we gather up all the insights and resolutions reached during the festivals of the seventh month, right? On Shmini Atzeres, in other words, Atzeres is the culmination of all the Yom Tovim of Tishrei, and we resolve to abide in God's presence with the whole Tishrei on your spiritual game. Right? In other words, the idea of Atzeres holding on to what we already have, which Rav Hirsch, again, uses an explanation of Atzeres, very, very much comes, I think, from this interpretation of the Aksav HaKabbalah. Again, there's some nuanced differences between Rav Hirsch and the Aksav HaKabbalah, but in the broad strokes, certainly the interpretations are very, very similar to one another. Again, I think it's another example where Rav Hirsch drew on the approach of the Aksav HaKabbalah, you know, in putting forward his own commentary. Yeah, Rav Hirsch came a little bit later. But again, when Rav Hirsch was growing up, they were learning the Aksav HaKabbalah in Germany. So I have to imagine that he was familiar with the Sefer. It just it makes sense that that would be the case. Okay, so we want to wish everyone a good Shabbos, and Hashem, we will see everybody, not before next week, certainly next week, when we take a look at Pashas Matzah's Master. Rabbi Ben Akasha Omer, Rav Zakon Shvaruchu, with Zakos, as you throw, a peacock here below him.